I remember sitting one afternoon on a cliff high over an ocean bay talking with a group of about 50 university students, while a jeep filled with armed soldiers drove back and forth on the road behind us. Wherever we went, people asked questions about arrests and imprisonment in the communist countries we had visited. They asked questions, too, that amazed us because of the knowledge they showed of the current world of religion. What about Dave Wilkerson's teen center in New York? Where was Billy Graham now? What was this madness about the death of God? That was how we learned that religious publications, even from the United States, were still coming into the country through normal postal channels. Several months before our arrival, Castro announced his plan to permit people to leave the country. Hundreds of thousands of people put their names on the list. However, only two planes flew out of Cuba each day. It would take 10 years before even the 900,000 people on the original list could be flown out. Meanwhile, those who waited lost their jobs, their houses, and property. Yet 190 a day did leave, and others believed firmly that their turn would soon be coming. It was among these people who wanted to leave Cuba that we felt our trip had the greatest effect. As we had in Eastern Europe, we urged our listeners to reconsider the role of a Christian when his country is in trouble. Is it to run or is it to stand? Life in Cuba in 1965 was not easy. But perhaps God had had his reasons for putting them in this place at this time. Perhaps they were to be his arms and legs, and his healing hands in this situation, without whom he would have no representative in this land. One evening, when I had said something like this, a stout, well-dressed man with a heavy black mustache stood up in the congregation. "I am a Methodist minister," he told the group. "For the last 2 years I have worked as a barber, but God has spoken to me this evening. I am going to return to the ministry. I am a shepherd who has left his sheep, but I am going back to them." There was pandemonium. Everyone in the church had to shake his hand. I heard shouts of joy, cries of, "Gracias, Pastor!" We saw many such decisions. One couple had their long-awaited airline tickets for 2 weeks from the night we met them. They decided to turn them back. "From now on," they told us, "Cuba is our mission field." As we boarded our return plane in Havana, Hans and I knew that Cuba was ours as well. Here was a country wide open to Bibles, to religious books and literature of all kind, and to visitors from all but a few countries. A country where the least spark of encouragement dropped into the generous and emotional Latin heart lit bonfires of love and consecration and self-sacrifice in response. It was as well the Cuban trip came when it did. For the following year we entered at last the most tightly controlled communist country of them all.